How sophisticated do you believe the code was? I mean, how mathematical did they have to be in that era?
I don't think it was mathematical at all. I think that we have to be realistic as to what was known. If this goes back to the time of Moses or the time of Abraham or to the ancient world, very few people were literate at that time. And very few people knew about codes. I think the way information was preserved in the ancient world was in tapestries, in woven patterns, in clothing, that if you know now we carry around our Palm Pilot, our computer, we can show graphics. Well, you didn't have that in the ancient world. If you had a traveling sage, a wise person, a priest, a king, a teacher, and they had to demonstrate something, they had to carry it with them. I believe that the text of Genesis is a woven structure, woven of its letters, and that what we're looking at in these so-called codes are skip patterns, which are what you see when you unravel a woven textile that has stripes on it. Literally, the patterns that the Bible code enthusiasts are finding are artifacts of a process of weaving. And I think the message is not in the story as much as it is in the weave. The story turns out to be a true story, a vital story, the Bible stories, but it's there to preserve the deeper meaning. And it's done that. That's the secret of the survival of these traditions through the centuries, is that everyone having allegiance to and being interested in the story is also carrying the pattern in the letters that preserves the science of consciousness that's at a deeper level.
Okay, now I want you to explain this for me so I can understand it a little bit better. That this pattern, what does it spell out?
Well, if I'm right, it doesn't spell out anything. Well, it actually does spell something out, but what it spells out is kind of a logical process. It's pure information. But in fact, it's not what it spells out. It's not the story that counts. It's rather the process that occurs in your mind when you let the letters into your mind.
All right, give me an example.
Well, an example would be computer code. You can read a program written in BASIC. It uses ordinary English words. You could translate it from one language to another, and you could do all of that without ever realizing that it was intended to be software that should be running on a system. What I'm saying is that the stories in the Bible are the BASIC program. You can read it. It's the programming. But what's really intended to happen is that you're intended to internalize the sequence of letters. And we've come up with a number of ways to do that, and people can judge for themselves. And what's in there, now here's the bottom line. What's the point of all of these traditions? What are they accomplishing? They're claiming that there's something real, there's something about God, heaven, life after death, all kinds of things that are very mysterious to us. If these claims are true, how would you know? Can you believe someone else who tells you?
You've got to either go on faith or eyewitness testimony, and you know what? There's nobody around today who was back then, so you're right. How do you know?
How do you do it? Well, I'll tell you how you do it. I'll tell you how you do it. You can't convince somebody of something they haven't experienced for themselves. I think what these texts represent are mental exercises. That when you internalize the mental exercise, you have a real experience. And I think that this experience is related to what happened to Moses, what happened to Rabbi Akiva in the Christian tradition, what happened to Jesus in the Muslim tradition, what happened to Muhammad. That basically there is a path to an enlightening experience, to an opening of consciousness, to a higher view, to an emotional and personal growth experience that is in there in scientific form. It's literally a program that is in your mind, that comes alive inside of you.